بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. We begin in the tafsir of Surah Al-Qamar, and the beginning is the Basmala, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, in the name of Allah, the most beneficent, the most merciful. And the explanation of this had been done already in more than one occasion. Then we go to the first verse. قال الله تعالى اقتربت الساعة وانشق القمر. The hour has drawn near and the moon has been cleft asunder. It means that the hour has drawn really very near. And the hour meaning the day of resurrection. In fact, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala stated in Surah Muhammad, chapter 47, verse 18, فَهَلْ يَنْظُرُونَ إِلَّا السَّاعَةَ أَنْ تَأْتِيَهُمْ بَغْتَةً فَقَدْ جَاءَ أَشْرَاطُهَا. Do they then await anything other than the hour, that it should come upon them suddenly? But some of its portents, indications and signs have already come. And from these signs is the advent of the prophethood of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Is evidence, and he is the final and last messenger, is evidence that it drew near. And that, in fact, the advent of the Prophet ﷺ itself being a sign for the nearness of the day of resurrection came on the tongue of the Prophet ﷺ when he said, بُعِثْتُ أَنَا وَالسَّاعَ كَهَتَيْنَ. As in Al-Bukhari and in Muslim, and in Sahih Al-Bukhari volume 7, Hadith 136, book 63, Hadith number 223, he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, my advent and the hour are like this, and he namely joined between his middle finger and his index finger, namely the period between his era, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the hour is like the distance between these two fingers, which means it's very short. How many years between us and the era of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? We are in the 15th century, according to the Islamic calendar, following the advent of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's messengership. And this life continues, which indicates that a long period had passed. In fact, in another narration, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had mentioned, as in Sahih al-Bukhari volume 1, book 10, Hadith 532, he said, the period of you, the period of your stay, compared to the previous nations, is like the period equal to the time between the Asr prayer and sunset. The period of your stay, as compared to the previous nations, is like the period which is equal to the time between the Asr, the afternoon prayer, and the sunset prayer. Then, in the first verse, Allah says, اقتربت الساعة وانشق القمر. The hour has drawn near, and the moon has been cleft asunder. As if in this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is pointing that this is from the signs of the hour, the splitting of the moon. وَانْشَقَّ الْقَمَرُ. and the moon has been cleft asunder. It parted into two pieces, distinct from each other. One of them above Mount Abi Qubais in Mecca. The second above Mount Qayqa'an, meaning a piece above As-Safa and a piece above Al-Marwa. And the distance between, as it appears to the sight, between these two pieces, which are above As-Safa and Marwa, is very, very long distance. It may take years between them. The moon has been cleft asunder. Instantaneously, this occurred and parted instantaneously its pieces from each other. Why? You see, the Quraysh, the pagans of Quraysh, they challenged the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and they requested from him signs that he is a messenger from Allah. And Allah responded to them, as in Surah Al-Ankabut 29, verse 50 and 51, قُلْ إِنَّمَا الْآيَاتُ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ وَإِنَّمَا أَنَا نَذِيرٌ مُبِينٌ أَوَلَمْ يَكْفِهِمْ أَنَّا أَنزَلْنَا عَلَيْكَ الْكِتَابَ يُتْلَى عَلَيْهِمْ. And they say, why are not signs sent down to him from his Lord? Say, the signs are only with Allah, and I am only a plain warner. Is it not sufficient for them that we have sent down to you the book, meaning the Quran, which is recited to them? But this was not sufficient to them. Why? Because they were arrogant, disdainful. They did not intend the truth. So they came to the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam and said, O Muhammad, you claim to be a messenger and that you receive the news from heaven and such and such. Show us a sign. Show us a sign. So he sallallahu alaihi wasallam pointed towards the moon and invoked Allah, and behold, the moon split or turned into two pieces instantaneously. Who could do this? This great mass splitting it into two parts, except Allah, the Lord of all creation. So he showed them that. He pointed to the moon, and they saw that. But this did not benefit them. And they said, Saharana Muhammad. Muhammad bewitched us, did magic on us. And some of them said, Sahara al-Qamar. That Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam did magic on the moon. And so they denied. And they began talking amongst themselves and said, ask the travelers. Ask them, did they see this upon their arrival, on their way to Mecca, or not? So they started asking the travelers from all directions, did you see that or not? The traveler said, yes, we saw it on that night. And this what? This is regarding those travelers who are near to them from the peninsula. As to those who are far, they may not see it. And we know that, we know now that the night here could be a day there, another place, right? Now, our time here is night. It is still day in some parts of the world. Or there could be also clouds which will preclude the seeing. And therefore from this it is not possible for, it's not ever possible for anyone who is sane to deny the splitting of the moon, the actual splitting of the moon. Just because it was not mentioned by the Greeks, just because it was not mentioned in the history of India, just because it was not mentioned in that place or in that book, this is not a proof to deny or render futile what has been affirmed in the books of hadith, in Bukhari and in Muslim and in others, that the moon was split asunder into two pieces in actuality, in reality. And we believe that the one who is able to fold the heavens altogether, as in Surah Al-Anbiya chapter 21 verse 104, قال الله تعالى يوم نطوي السماء كطي السجل للكتب 21. And remember the day when we shall roll up the heavens like a scroll rolled up for books. And remember the day when we shall roll up the heavens like a scroll rolled up for books. As we began the first creation, we shall repeat it. It's a promise binding upon us, and truly we shall do it. So the one who is able to roll up the heavens like a scroll rolled up for books is able to render the moon in two pieces. Nothing that he is not incapable of doing. As Allah stated in Surah Fatir, chapter 35, verse 44, وَمَا كَانَ اللَّهُ لِيُعْجِزَهُ مِنْ شَيْءٍ فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَلَا فِي الْأَرْضِ إِنَّهُ كَانَ عَلِيمًا قَدِيرًا. Have they not traveled in the land and seen what was the end of those before them, and they were superior to them in power? Allah is not such that anything in the heavens or in the earth escapes him. Nothing. Verily he is all-knowing, all omnipotent. And therefore, there is no room for denial of this from those who even attribute themselves or ascribe themselves to Islam and claim that the heavenly objects, celestial objects, does not change. We say Allahu Akbar. Allah is greater. Who is the one who created them? Isn't he Allah? Certainly. Then he is able to change them. For he subhanahu wa ta'ala, as he stated about himself in Surah Yasin 36:82, إِنَّمَا أَمْرُهُ إِذَا أَرَادَ شَيْئًا أَنْ يَقُولَ لَهُ كُنْ فَيَكُونَ. Verily his command when he intends a thing is only that he says to it be, and it is. So the cleft of the moon was real and physical, two pieces, and people saw that. But those who are arrogant, they don't accept anything. And that's why Allah in the next verse said, وَإِنْ يَرَوْ آيَةً يُعْرِضُ. And if they see a sign, they turn away. And they say, this is continuous magic. They don't accept it. They turn away. They also combine two things, the turning away and also disdainfulness on their tongues. And also they turn away in their hearts and their bodies. And they say on their tongue, this is a continuous magic. And that magic does not influence. Magic only influences the what is seen, affects our sight. It does not change the essences. And the evidence is with Moses alayhi salam, when the magicians of Pharaoh gathered and threw their ropes, and it appeared to him, because of their magic, as if they were serpents, snakes, and the whole valley turned into snakes moving around. But in reality, there was no actual change of the ropes and sticks to snakes, but it is in the sight of the seer. So they said that Muhammad did magic on us, such that our eyes saw the moon, the one single entity, saw that to be two. And so they said this is continuous magic from him, and therefore it would not be stable. And it's also said that all the signs which he brought, all are magic. Continuous. So they denied and belied. And that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala stated, وَكَذَّبُوا, in the next verse, وَكَذَّبُوا وَاتَّبَعُوا أَهْوَاءَهُمْ. They belied and followed their own lusts. And every matter will be settled. وَكُلُّ أَمْرٍ مُسْتَقِرٍ. So they followed their lusts, meaning falsehood that they looked for. But Allah said, and every matter will be settled. So those who belied, their settlement shall be humiliation and loss in this life, and hellfire in the next one. While the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam and those who followed him, their matter will be settled by victory in this life and paradise in the hereafter. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us from them. In the next verse, وَلَقَدْ جَاءَهُمْ مِنَ الْأَنْبَاءِ مَا فِيهِ مُزْدَجَرٍ. And indeed there has come to them news in this Quran wherein there is enough warning to check them from evil. Meaning, this came to Quraysh. There has come to them, to Quraysh, the pagans, a news. Enough to guide them to their senses and to bring them that which is good for them and success to them, and warning to check against evil, the evil of shirk, ascribing partners to Allah, and also the evil of sins. But they did not benefit by that. And that's why then in the next verse Allah said, حِكْمَةٌ بَالِغَةٌ. حِكْمَةٌ بَالِغَةٌ. Perfect wisdom, this Quran. Meaning the news that came to them in the Quran is hikmah, wisdom. And the hikmah means placing things in their proper and suitable positions or states or conditions. And there is no doubt that the Sharia of Allah is hikmah, is wisdom, all of it, and in agreement with that which is beneficial to the creatures in their livelihood and in their return to Allah. Hikmatun baligha, perfect, leads to the objective sought. فَمَا تُغْنِ النُّذُرُ. Next verse. حِكْمَةٌ بَالِغَةٌ فَمَا تُغْنِ النُّذُرُ. So, حِكْمَةٌ بَالِغَةٌ, but the preaching of warners benefit them not. And this could also mean, but the preaching of warners benefit them not, this could be a form of exclamation intended as scolding at them. And both meanings are correct. The warners did not benefit them as well. So, if all of this warning that came to them was not of a benefit to them, and which is a perfect wisdom, so what else would benefit them? The answer is nothing. Because they were arrogant, disdainful. And that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, فَتَوَلَّ عَنْهُمْ. So withdraw from them, because they rejected out of arrogance and haughtiness. So there shall come to them what they were promised, and that this is inevitable. And here the reciter should stop here, not connect the two statements. He should recite فَتَوَلَّ عَنْهُمْ, then resume يَوْمَ يَدْعُ الدَّاعِ إِلَى شَيْءٍ نُكُرٍ. Because the reciter, if he connects both, then the impression would be that withdrawing will be on the day when the caller will call them to a terrible thing. You understand? So, the reciter should stop. So, withdraw from them. فَتَوَلَّ عَنْهُمْ. يَوْمَ يَدْعُ الدَّاعِ إِلَى شَيْءٍ نُكُرٍ. The da'i, the caller. The day that the caller will call them to a terrible thing. Terrible thing because of its horror. So the punishment will occur to them on that day when they will be resurrected from their graves as locusts. Allah described them خُشَّ عَنْ أَبْصَارُهُمْ in verse 7. خُشَّ عَنْ أَبْصَارُهُمْ يَخْرُجُونَ مِنَ الْأَجْدَاثِ كَأَنَّهُمْ جَرَادٌ مُنْتَشِرٌ. They will come forth on that day with humble. This is when they will receive the horrible and terrible punishment. They will come forth with humbled eyes from their graves as if they were locusts spread abroad. خُشَّ عَنْ أَبْصَارُهُمْ. They will come forth with humbled eyes. Why? Because they didn't see like this day before. As Allah described them also in Surah Ash-Shura 42-45, يَنْظُرُونَ مِنْ طَرْفٍ خَفِي. And you will see them brought forward to it, made humble by disgrace, and looking with stealthy glance. Now, they are disdainful, haughty. Their heads are raised up. They see that people are lower than them. They are higher in rank. But the day will come when this will be the opposite. He'll be made humble by this grace. خُشَّعَنْ أَبْصَارُهُمْ. They will come forth with humbled eyes from their graves, as if they were locusts. Locusts spread abroad. The locust, which spreads on earth, the locust go in all directions. And this is from the most accurate descriptions and resemblance regarding those who will be resurrected from their graves, as if they were locusts spread abroad. You see, the locust which is spread goes right, left, not knowing where to go. So they will come in the same manner out of their graves. They were in this life having leaders, people directing them, knowing their ways, although corrupt ways. But now in this array, the next verse, مُهْطَعِينَ إِلَى الدَّعْ, hastening towards the caller, hastening towards the caller with their necks bowed, bowing down. Just like when the person runs, you see his head going in front, lowering it. So they will come from their graves, مُهْطَعِينَ إِلَى الدَّعْ, hastening towards the caller with their heads down because of the fear and the horror. يَقُولُ الْكَافِرُونَ هَذَا يَوْمٌ عَسَرٌ. The disbelievers will say on that day, this is a hard day. Contemplate their saying, يَقُولُ الْكَافِرُونَ. The disbelievers will say. Allah did not say, the people will say, but rather He said, the disbelievers will say. There is no doubt that this day is a hard day in itself, but it is upon the disbelievers as such, but on the believers it will be an easy day. As Allah said in Surah Al-Furqan 25 verse 26, وَكَانَ يَوْمًا عَلَى الْكَافِرِينَ عَسِيرًا. The sovereignty on that day will be the true sovereignty belonging to the most beneficent Allah, and it will be a hard day for the disbelievers. But for the believers, it will be an easy day. All praise is due to Allah. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us from them. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala afterwards begins by telling the stories of the prophets in a summarized way in this surah, but it is very, very effective. If you recite the verses concerning these stories of the prophets which will come after this verse with contemplation, you will find it very, very effective. Few words, but powerful. Perfectly powerful. That which we'll inshallah discuss in the next class. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us steadfastness on iman in this life and in the graves, and to make our day on the day of resurrection an easy one. Walhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا.